This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Muzzle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Muzzle is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Muzzle is more than an Apple MDM. Muzzle is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.muzzle.com. That's business.muzzle.com. Thanks to Muzzle for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
Welcome back to Apple at Work, the podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host as always. Back on the show is, I think, one of the most leading voices in Apple and IT and Apple and the enterprise, my friend and yours, Alan West. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot, Bradley. I appreciate you having me back.
I know you've got a bunch of travel coming up, and it's all Mac admins related. So that's the fun travel on the work side. Obviously, taking vacations is more fun, but nevertheless. So, you know, we had Tom Bridge, one of the founding members of the Mac admins community and foundation on a few episodes ago, and wanted to talk about how the Mac admin scholarships, you know, how do you think that impacts the, you know, existing generation of Mac admins and also building the new generation? Because again, I know you've got conferences coming up, and a lot of these conferences are where, you know, strong networking happens and where relationships are built.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I can't talk about the Mac admins foundation enough, not only from a grant recipient side, but as a membership side. I think, you know, I think I may have mentioned this on the last time I was on the show. When I started in Apple and support 30 years ago, we didn't have these types of groups. So everybody was struggling to figure things out for themselves. Now you have this incredible community that you have a problem or you maybe need a second set of eyes, and maybe inside your organization, you don't have someone who can do that, but you can come out and come to the community and say, hey, I just downloaded, let's use Tahoe. I just downloaded the last version beta of Tahoe and Nomad was working. I'm going to use Nomad as an experience because I'm seeing a lot of questions about this in the community. Nomad, No More AD was working some of the previous betas. Then it broke. Then it was working again. Now it's broken. Release candidate. What gives? And, you know, being able to take a problem like that, you know, you only can see internally and may not have someone who can go, yeah, no, you should not be using that tool because it was deprecated 2 years ago. Is something that is extremely valuable.
You think of it like there's the saying that's like chronically online. And I think the, you know, kind of bugs like that you mentioned are good examples of, like, most people think that, like, everything that you like, I think everything that I know, you should know, and vice versa. And that's simply not the case. And I think especially in IT, one of the things I've always said is, like, can be helpful and challenging at the same time is, like, controlling variables. So if, like, you're running into an issue, like, here's a simple example. So I use an app called Prolog on my iPhone to listen to audiobooks. Like, I kind of manage my own audiobook server using Plex. Okay. So non-IT related example. But I had an issue where I added a new book to my library. It was showing up on the web interface of Plex, wasn't showing up in Prolog. Like, okay, well, that's weird. Like, that should work. But I also have Prolog, the iPhone app, on my Mac because it's obviously built, you know, it's Catalyst app, et cetera. Well, it was showing up on there. So I knew the issue lied with my iPhone and not the server side. So all I did was just delete the app, re-download it, re-log in, showed up fine. So some sort of database issue or whatever. But those kind of examples, like in IT, are, like, super helpful when you're like, okay, I'm running this issue. We're like, this is my environment. I'm running this issue. Does anybody else have this? And you can go to somebody in the Mac admins community and they're like, yeah, we run none of your same network setup, but we have the same issue. And so it kind of helps you identify, is this a bug on something on like the vendor's end, or is this a me problem? And, like, those kind of issues are like getting to that answer sometimes is like 90% of the way to fixing it is like, is this a me problem or a them problem? Because if it's a them problem, then you go to the vendor and say, hey, you got this. And obviously people have bugs. But I think that's really, for me, where that community comes in is like, it's almost answering the question of like, am I crazy?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's one of those things where when you can take a step back and have someone, maybe you're a junior admin and you, or you're a department of one and you don't have, like I said, you don't have anyone you can rely on, or you don't have a way that, you know, you've Googled your heart out, you've ChatGPT'd your heart out, and you're still not getting the answers. But you come out to the community and you're like going, okay, just like you said, here's my environment. Here's the problem I'm seeing. Am I crazy? And then maybe one, maybe two, maybe a dozen people go, no, you're not crazy. It's an issue. We filed feedback with Apple. We filed a bug ticket with Microsoft or whoever the vendor is. Jump on. Here's the information. Here's the leading number for the ticket issue, the problem issue. Jump on this so that there are more voices added to that. That is extremely powerful, especially when you're trying to get a vendor to admit to a problem. They're like, oh, no, it's just you. No, it's not me. I got half a dozen other people in the community that are saying they're having problems. Somebody filed feedback. Here's the feedback number. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I guess that is a problem. Maybe we should fix that.
Yeah. That example, like that story you've told, I've lived that 1,000 times, and everybody listening to this has lived that 1,000 times. Just again, having that sounding board, I think it's incredible. You mentioned ChatGPT, and I think it's interesting time to talk about like how we think AI is going to impact the Mac admins. And I'm not even saying like how it impacts how you use your Mac, but I'm saying like how you manage an environment, how you manage troubleshooting, how you roll out configuration profiles. And I'm really, really excited as the more I've seen different enterprise tools build in AI functionality, obviously, like, you know, it's every year it's getting dramatically better. I'm really envisioning a world where you kind of can't break stuff, particularly around configuration profiles. That's what I'm really excited about. And I think how we manage configuration profiles is a simple way to think. Like, I think that's going to massively change in the next couple of years. But what is your take here? Like, how do you think AI functionality is going to be baked into how Apple IT people manage their environment?
So this is a two-track answer for me. There's the vendor track where vendors are building AI tools into their products. Some of them are good. Some of them are not so good. Some of them are less than what was promised. And then on the other side of it is the actual admin learning how to use AI and learning prompt engineering, because, you know, if you remember in the early days of search, you would throw essentially mud against the wall to see what stuck. And, you know, you had to learn how to form your searches, and over the years it's gotten better. And now we have natural language search. AI is the exact same way, maybe not inside a vendor tool, but definitely if you're using any of the third party LLMs that are out there, you've got to learn prompt engineering. You've got to learn how to ask the question and craft the question so that you don't get AI slopped back. But the other part of that is, if you're sticking to one AI system, whether it's ChatGPT, whether it's Perplexity, Copilot, Grok, Gemini, you need to learn the other tools, because one tool does not fit all. There are some things that Perplexity does better than, say, ChatGPT. And there's been a couple really good articles and posts out there on LinkedIn, on the internet, comparing them. As I understand it, Perplexity is much better at coding than ChatGPT is. So learning not only to use AI and use it effectively, but also learning which tool I need to use when I'm trying to maybe craft a configuration profile, maybe when I'm trying to craft a script, maybe when I'm trying to troubleshoot an issue. Maybe I go inside of the vendor AI, and the vendor AI can help identify, you know, an issue with my instance or my rule or whatever. those are important skills that I think need to be learned now, because if you don't learn them now, yeah, AI is going to get better, but you're going to get left behind.
Yeah. And it's something I've heard other industries say is you're not going to be replaced by AI, but you're going to be replaced by somebody using AI to just really be a 10x speed over you. And I think too, you know, I think it's going to dramatically impact tier one troubleshooting. And maybe I'm not even saying like it's going to replace tier one help desk, but I think you're going to see tier one help desk people be able to corral information at lightning speed. I mean, because you think about it, you know, when you get an alert come in or ticket comes in, first thing you do, you might search your wiki, you might search past tickets, you might search, you know, Slack. You obviously may search Google to see if other people had this issue. The idea here is all that information will be surfaced to you instantly as the tickets opened. And you'll see, you know, you won't have to start with the research phase as a help desk support person. All that information will just be presented to you, and you can, and you obviously you may sift through the answers, you may have to read, and again, over time, it'll get even better and better, but like that's going to turn you into a 10x engineer, because you're not going to have to go to like 9 different systems and collaborate data and sift through it. That'll just be there for you automatically.
Yeah. I'm thinking about, you know, a use case for this. Last week, we had Dan Snelson at the Music City Mac Admins user group presenting on his new product, Mac Health Check. Imagine having Mac Health Check in a self-service portal, having the end user run it, and then having that information taken by AI generate some information that goes to the tier one help desk tied to a ticket, so that essentially the only thing that tier one help desk person has to do is like quickly scan through it, confirm everything's working, and then move on to the next level of troubleshooting.
Or it discovers what the problem is. I mean, like, again, I mean, this is maybe pie in the sky, but like it discovers, Mac Health Check discovers what the issue is, reports it back to the technician. It provides a quick script to deal with whatever issue. Maybe it's like, you know, some sort of dispermission. It's like, who knows? I'm just making, you know, it could be anything.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, you can click a button, like, that sounds great. And then click a button in the help desk tool, and then it connects with device management service, and then pushes that script down, runs it, problem solved. And that can, you can see that world even being like almost automated, where it like is doing it automatically without even, you know, maybe just minimal oversight. And that's like, I just think about like anytime I'm doing something that like is just moving data from one system to the other, those are the kind of tasks that are going to be way better suited for Gen AI. You know, it's really like, you know, AI agents working, and it's not anything that we've not seen before. I mean, like, jobs evolve, and I'm not saying like we're getting rid of tier one help desk people, but I think I mentioned on a past show, like, we used to have people, their jobs at companies were like imaging computers and deploying them. Like, for certainly on the Apple side, that job has almost been eliminated, and it's like it, and those people moved on to other things. And I think that's what, if I was like early in my career, if I was doing a job that was simply almost repeating the same thing over and over again, those are the kind of things that are going to be, you know, somewhat made obsolete by AI agents.
Yeah.
Well, and one of the things I've been thinking about too, I was on a panel last week with somebody from IDC. I was at Hexnode's conference down in Atlanta, and I was on a panel. We were talking about kind of future of Apple management. And I think one of the things that I'm thinking about over the next 5 years is getting good telemetry data off of Apple products. Because again, like IDC talks about telemetry data growing at just really an insane CAGR. It's 29%. So you think about the amount of telemetry data that every Mac is generating for your company, and that's going to continue to grow. And having really a good way and a way to deal with the telemetry data that you're pulling off of the Mac, and being able to then pull it into the rest of your ecosystem, you know, however you manage that data, that's something that I think is going to be key. And again, I think that's maybe something some Apple engineers aren't used to. But again, that's going to be a way that, like, if companies that can make that easy using Gen AI technology, an Apple engineer is not going to have to pick up telemetry data management. They're going to be able to just say, "Hey, it's built into the system using AI." I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, and I think that's a place where the Mac community, and as maybe not as admins, but as companies really haven't thought about it. I think that's where we're running behind against our Windows counterparts, because our Windows counterparts, you know, pull a lot of telemetry data off their machines and, you know, create these, you know, reports, you know, and they have this data at hand. And I think that's something in the Mac admin community, I know there are people out there that have been doing it and doing it for a while, but I think that's something we, you know, need to get, become comfortable with and start definitely trying to catch up to our Windows counterparts.
Yeah. And again, as Macs become a dominant endpoint, just from compliance reasons, you're going to need to be able to, you pull that data off. Speaking of, you know, you mentioned macOS Tahoe earlier. We obviously obviously Apple's fall updates are out. And so a lot of the new things in terms of management are also out. What are, and we've recapped those on past shows, but what are some of your favorite things this year that Apple has rolled out for IT engineers?
The biggest one I think for me is the ability to seamlessly move from device management platform to another one. It's been a pain over the years, you know, having to wipe devices. But now, with the new things that they've introduced around moving from MDM to MDM, I think you're going to see some people who have felt locked in for whatever reasons are going to start now being able to better evaluate, okay, yeah, we've been on this platform for a while and it's really done us well, but this other platform offers us a lot more, and we'll take pricing out of the equation. This other platform offers us a lot more opportunity for growth, or to be able to change how we manage devices. You know, company I'm a big fan of, Fleet, you know, being able to manage devices as GitOps is something that is really, really interesting. And it's something that, you know, I've started looking at in addition to, you know, the other companies I'm working around, and just trying to better understand that mindset, because the traditional Mac admin role is no longer, you know, okay, well, I just manage the Macs and I come in and I, you know, I get into Jamf or I get into Mozilla or Jamf Cloud or whatever. But it's starting to be more of, you know, you're seeing companies more and more come along and say, you know, IT is a GitOps organization. It's not, you know, a device management organization. So being able to seamlessly move from one MDM to another, for me, is just one of those things that I was like, wow. I've said it previously, I didn't think in my career I would see open source MDM. Now I'm like, well, I didn't think I'd see, you know, being able to move from MDM to MDM become so seamless.
Well, and you mentioned pricing, and I think what I'm a big fan of, just making customers in control of their environment, and I think making it difficult to move device management services by design, or I guess I should say by making your business model around that, I think was wrong. And one of the things I think you'll see here is, you know, companies can no longer come in and say, hey, we're going to give you rock bottom pricing for, say, 24 months and right. Get you to go through the hassle of switching from one vendor to the next. And then counting on the fact that, like, in year three, they can throw a 30% increase on you and you're probably going to take it because you're probably not going to go through the hassle of switching again. And it makes pricing something that companies can't wield, because they have to do is find the pricing increase that is just cheap enough to not make you want to go through the hassle of moving. They can't do that anymore. And I think that's good for customers. And I'm not calling out any company that does that or doesn't. I'm just saying, like, that's a reality in the SaaS world, is rock bottom pricing in the first couple of years, and then they just start ratcheting it up. And again, I think it makes it seamless. I think it's good for everybody. You know, one of the things I didn't clarify on a previous episode is, like, the importance of building this into Apple Business Manager and Apple School Manager, because that makes it where it's that's that, like, no one has to build this into their device management service. Like, you, a vendor can't, like, oh, we haven't built migration into our service yet. Like, doesn't matter. Like, it's right. that's the benefit of Apple kind of having that layer that they control in between the company and the device management service. Like, they kind of control that, and so they kind of were able to force that from day one. So I'm excited about it. I think that for me is one of the things I'm most excited about. You know, I think I'm not sure if you listen or not, but I talked to Jeremy Butcher from Apple, and that's something that, like, has definitely come up in recent years. And you know, it just takes those kind of features in some ways, like, it's like so needed, but also if you weren't looking to migrate, that wasn't something you wanted. Like, you didn't care about that. But I think having that and just like, okay, let's do that this year and get that in place. That is a way that it puts everybody in the industry in some ways on equal footing, and customers can just go with the vendor that gives them the pricing that they can afford and the features that they want. And as soon as the vendor stops doing that, we can easily move. And like you mentioned, like, Fleet's a relatively new player in this industry. Like, if you were with Jamf and you wanted to switch to Fleet, well, now it's a lot easier. If you were with, you know, one company, it's good. I'm a big fan of it. And even if you don't want to switch today, I think that gives you leverage when it comes to renewal with your vendors. If they try to give you an obscene price increase because, you know, whatever reason, you're in control. And that's a win for customers.
Yeah, most definitely.
So, Alan, wrapping up here, and I know by the time this airs, you will have already done your travel. You've got some travel ahead. Tell us about where you're going and kind of what you're excited about.
So, thanks. I'm going to plug the Mac Admins Foundation. Thanks to a community grant from the Mac Admins Foundation, I am attending Mac SysAdmin in Gothenburg, Sweden next week. Then, thanks to Jamf, I have a scholarship to JNUC. So I'll go to Sweden, I'll come home for a day, and then I get on a plane and fly out to Denver to go to JNUC. I can't thank both these organizations enough, both the Mac Admins Foundation and Jamf, for this opportunity. And I highly recommend, if you're not a member of the Mac Admins Foundation, you know, look at what you're spending your money on, you know, whether it's coffee, whether it's a streaming service, take that money, put it to the community, because it does a lot of good. You just don't understand the power of the community and the ability to send someone halfway around the world to an event where they're going to be able to soak up culture and knowledge and make friends and really, really just empower them.
Well, I love conferences, and obviously I'm a homebody. Like, I like sleeping in my own bed every night. But I think there is a lot to be said of any sort of remote work. And when I say remote work, like, it can just be like remote networking with the Mac Admins community. Like, when you've broken bread with somebody, like, shared a meal, talked in a hallway, I think that makes, like, coming home and collaborating even better, whether that's in your own company or that's with just the community at large. And again, you can join the Mac Admins Foundation and support them for minimal dollars a month. So if you're a company, I highly encourage you to, like, join as a company and, like, make that part of how you give back to the industry. But even just personally, if you found value in it or you just want to help to give back to the next generation, like, I know for me, one of the reasons that we talk about the Mac Admins community on this podcast so much is simply because I owe my career to the Apple community. And even after I, you know, retire one day, and I hope to retire sooner than later, need to hit the lottery or something. But, like, I hope to continue to give back, because that's, you know, one of my kids' school, we talked about giving, and they talked about giving their annual fund. And it's like, you're here today because somebody else gave previously, and you're enjoying the things that they gave that we see. And it's kind of like, you know, person that plants a tree doesn't get to enjoy the shade, but somebody does. And I think that's, you know, way I think about giving and being part of the Mac Admins community. So I'm glad that you're able to go to these events and learn and connect. Cause again, I think, you're one of the, I don't want to say, you know, senior members, cause you're not old, but, like, you've been around and you're one of, like, the kind of the OGs in the community. And I think it's really cool that, like, people can learn a lot from people like you. I always found your social media content to be really on point. So again, if you're not connected with Alan on LinkedIn, like, highly recommend this. Even if you're new in your career, Alan's somebody that you can connect with and ask questions of. And again, he's been around the block. He's seen everything twice. And I think he brings a cool perspective. I've said on past podcasts, history doesn't repeat itself, but it always rhymes. So I just always appreciate your perspective as one of the tenured members of this community. So again, I hope you have fun trip. Again, by the time this show's airs, you'll be back. So no one think about robbing Alan because he's already back home. But I always like to make that joke. But again, thanks everybody for listening this week. Alan, safe travels. I'm really excited about, I thought you had some great comments on AI. I cannot wait to see. I think the next 24 months with AI and Apple admins is going to be key. So we'll see where that goes. But again, thanks everybody for listening this week, and we'll see you next time.